HarperCollins presents Death Under a Little Sky by Stig Abel, read by Oliver Hembra. Reason thus with life. If I do lose thee, I do lose a thing that none but fools would keep. A breath thou art, servile to all the skyey influences, that dost this habitation, where thou keep'st, hourly afflict. Merely thou art death's fool. For him thou labouredst by thy flight to shun, and yet runst toward him still. William Shakespeare, Measure for Measure, Act 3, Scene 1. Prologue. It is a long way as the heron flies between lights in this part of the countryside. There is much silence and gloom in between, though the air is never completely still. Things rustle and murmur, creatures slink and scurry. Not just animals, but the occasional human too. The expanse is too forgiving for those with malign intent, and you can disappear into the twilight softness with great, alarming ease. A woman stands atop old and crumbling stairs. There is pain in her eyes, but not fear. Not quite yet. In a few moments, she will be crumpled on the ground below. The drama and striving, the passion and the pain of her life over. She has been watched all evening. In fact, she has often struggled to evade attention over the last few years, to find peace even in the wideness around her. It is hard to separate some of the nearby men from the land itself. They work it, as she does, and it sticks to them, the smell of soil and growth and decay. She is surrounded. They are camouflaged. She strokes the downy hair on her arms as a few goosebumps pimple her skin. The breeze is rising. She feels high in the sky. She wonders if he is nearby, crouched furtive deep in a shadowy recess, watching and plotting. It is, sometimes, unbearable to imagine it. Her life here has been hard. She is an outsider, an invasive species. And yet she has found moments of solace in the thick land and silvery waters, in the sights and sounds of a natural world completely heedless of her needful fears. She has even found companionship with people on occasion. A friendly smile, an evening of carefree conversation. But also constraint and fear. Dark, glowering eyes following her home. The physical threat of a man's unforgiving bulk. Not just one man, but several. A group, a gathering, a rape of men like a murder of crows. She had coped and struggled and made herself small, got herself lost in the open spaces. And then the blow had fallen. The cataclysm. The catastrophe. Elsewhere, a man sits in his home. He doesn't love technology, but has become more adept with his camera over time. He used to have a dark room, the sickly sweet toxicity of chemicals filling his nostrils and stinging his eyes as the objects of his attention loomed back into ghostly existence. Now he is downloading images onto a computer, the screen light dancing on a face that has been creased and hardened by the elements. He wonders if the people close to him know what is in his mind all of the time, the relentless throbbing of his senses, the things he is thinking when he stares at them. Of course they don't know, otherwise they would have stopped him. He looks out of his window to check he is not being seen. Somewhere else, two men meet by an old tree. Their cars are parked apart on the lane nearby, facing in opposite directions. The exchange is brief. Two bags change hands. One of cash, one of product. They barely speak. They know that silence and security is essential. They cannot leave loose ends. Lights flicker on in far apart houses. If you could swoop, quiet as a bat, and peer in through windows, you would see family life in all its forms. The laughter between mother and daughter as bedtime approaches. The awkward stiffness between husband and wife who have run out of things to say to each other and sit restless.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?